I love this version of this song, it's but so some people good. I know, they're like, oh, I don't like that she changed the lyrics. And I'm like,
the best change ever.
Yeah, I mean, for her voice, and Dolly approves. Dolly gets tired. I mean, Dolly's okay with it. And
if Dolly's okay with it, we should be. Yeah. And also, I love the message. Like, it's power to me rather than
right.
you. You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
instead of pleading, don't take my man, she's like, don't you mess with my man.
Yeah, I like it.
It's good. Her voice is so...
I know. When, it's
you know,
so
we get
good.
A ballad from her.
I love
Apparently,
it.
Chris Stapleton, the highlight of the concert, according to John Bream, was some power ballad.
Oh, really?
He did. Yeah. He's like, well, how often can you say that? Very stripped down show. Lainey Wilson crushed it as the opener and somebody else. And he delivered 2 hours of, you know, he's very, very, he's amazingly talented.
He's very talented.
I guess it was like 46,000 people. So they did. That's why they were running some ads, Grant.
Ah, that's why.
Because that place can actually hold more.
Yeah.
You know?
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's a little bit of that. We've got a pair of tickets. Ooh. If you're a Zendaya fan, tennis fan, a hot, steamy movie fan, I'll be the sixth caller, 651-641-1071. Got a pair of tickets to see Challengers at the Showplace Icon in a couple weeks on Wednesday, April 24th. This was one of my trailers I saw yesterday at the movie.
And you were excited about it.
I kind of was because I like the whole idea of Zendaya being this like athlete, like a tennis player, like Naomi Osaka or something, just taking the sports world by storm, even though a little tiny part of my mind goes, yeah, those arms and legs are too
they're so thin.
They're so you know,
thin. Yeah.
I'm having a hard time believing the power punch without, you know, big some kind of shoulder definition.
Right, yeah.
But it was just a trailer and, you know, you find out in the trailer something happens and she's on top of the world and then she's at another point and then all of a sudden she's sitting on a bed with two guys that she's coaching, one who she used to be a lover with and one that I think there's also a romantic connection.
Oh, so we've got like a big old love triangle. And
yes, and I think there is a menage a trois a sex scene. At least in the trailer, we have a menage a trois kiss scene.
Dang.
On the edge of a dirty hotel bed. You know, one of those. You should always take those. Those things off.
The covers, the comforter.
The comforter, yeah.
That's what they say. They say take that one off.
No, that's just for sure. That's for sure.
Okay, I'm on it.
Yeah. Just because who doesn't want to be in the moment?
Yeah, you know?
But it just takes a second to rip off a coverlet.
Yeah.
Throw it on the floor where it belongs.
It's not like it's adding much heat. No.
Yeah. Anyway, so Grant's getting a phone call about that. The other trailer that you and I watched in the double wide, and we were like, yes, we want to watch this. Grant posted it. It's Scarlett Johansson and Channing Tatum, a.k.a. Channum, in a trailer called Fly Me to the Moon. It comes out to theaters July 14th, and it co-stars include Ray Romano and Woody Harrelson. It's a rom-com.
Yeah, and it really seems like where NASA nerd, which is Channing Tatum, which you wouldn't normally associate with, meets marketing, you know, meets Scarlett Johansson, where she's the marketing queen and has to make NASA seem more appealing.
And it's set in 1968, so the trailer opens to T-Rex, Bang a Gong.
Yes, yeah. It looks good.
Which is a great,
it does look good.
Great song, and it focuses on this woman, Kelly, played by Scarlett Johansson, who does meet cute right away in the trailer.
Yeah.
Channing's character, but they don't know what the other one does. But she's a marketing whiz and she needs to improve NASA's image.
Yeah.
So that the government keeps funding them and that they get favorable, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it reminded me just watching it about how good Apple Plus for All Mankind is.
Yeah.
If you have that. That is a great show.
Apple Plus does not miss.
It doesn't. And really, the first three seasons of that show were really good. I think in season four, time traveled too far for my liking. Damn it.
Yeah. Was that the Mars one? No.
I think so.
Yeah.
But it looks really good. It's called Fly Me to the Moon. And I love it when Woody Harrelson or Ray Romano are aggravated men just yelling at people about something. I mean, they just, I don't know why they're funny at that, but they are funny at that.
Yeah, the trailer really leans into too, which was super fun. So it's not only like why marketing's going to help them, but then they have the idea of they need a backup plan if they don't win the race to the moon.
Yeah,
and it was just so good.
I know it. And a romantic comedy. And Greg Berlanti directed this movie. And Greg Berlanti, if you're a TV nerd, like Jason would know who Greg Berlanti is. He, of course, you know, Everwood, The Flash, Dawson's Creek, Brothers and Sisters, Arrow, Supergirl.
Brothers and Sisters.
Love, Simon. I mean, he's like maybe early 50s, but he's done a lot of TV and a lot of really good where it does have the romance, comedic, you know, mixture. But originally, Jason Bateman was directing this movie and Chris Evans was Channum.
Really?
Oh, okay.
And then Jason Bateman left for creative differences, and then Chris Evans left, quote unquote, for scheduling conflicts, which means
he
left too because he wanted Jason. So, but it really does look good. The trailer sold us.
Me too. I'm in.
Yeah. So
Scarlett
anyway.
Starts out with that with the curly perm, like, you know, just every single one.
Captures the
60s.
We're already getting 1968 in Palmer Royale if you're watching that.
Oh, how is that?
It's good. I like it. There have been 5 episodes dropped, and I just this week realized, watching an episode, that Palmer Royale is also a tease on Casino Royale, the James Bond spoofy satire. And the clue is in the credits when you see a woman kind of falling through the, you know how the Bond thing always opens with the spirals?
Yeah, and it's like the cylinder of a gun kind of.
And I'm like, oh, Palmer Royale, Casino Royale, because this is a spoof, but Carol Burnett is...
That was going to be my question.
Giving it now.
She, like, in the first couple episodes, is in a coma, right?
She's in a coma, and she's the best thing in it. But in the fourth episode, she's a woman with a stroke talking.
Oh, love it.
With aphasia, and it's... She's just like on Better Call Saul, Carol Burnett. She's a great comedic and serious actor. She can give it.
How about Josh Lucas? How's he doing?
Josh is playing against type. It looks like he's shoving his belly out further or ate a lot. He's playing kind of a dumb southern doofus.
Douglas is his name.
Yeah, really, and kind of smarmy. And we always think of him as being the dreamboat from Sweet Home Alabama, really going out against type. And I'm just like, and then Allison Janney.
I was just going to ask.
Allison Janney wearing blue eyeshadow up to her eyebrows like my grandma Fudge and wearing caftans. I can't.
This sounds so good.
Yeah.
Well, Allison made an appearance in the season finale last night of Curb, and she is amazing.
Oh, Grant's dying, by the way. The season finale.
I'm watching it tonight. Please. Casey would not let me. We had one episode of Three Body Problem. And it was this finale, and he goes, we can't hang.
The momentum, you gotta keep
We gotta finish it.
Yeah, we've watched, you know, two.
And sometimes if you leave it, you don't always come back.
Good point.
And I know you guys would.
We would, but knowing us, we've forgotten it, and definitely need to watch the recap and start at the beginning. But anyway, so take a look at that, Fly Me to the Moon. And then we've got distribution on a movie, that, I mean, it sounds like last summer's book club.
Mm-hmm.
It's Kathy Bates, Diane Keaton, and Alfre Woodard, co-starring Eugene Levy and Beverly D'Angelo, and it's called Summer Camp.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole Richie is also in it.
This sounds really fun.
It tells the story of Nora, Ginny, and Mary, played by our three leads, who've been best friends since being inseparable at a summer camp. As the years have passed, they've seen each other less and less. So when the chance to reunite for a summer camp reunion arises, they all take it. One excited, one not excited. And anyway, camp reminds them why they need each other.
That's cute.
No, so that movie's coming out this summer. It's already made. It's a done deal. And I think with the success of Book Club last year, maybe they found out there is an audience for different kinds of movies that are lighter and romantic and fun and friendship. And
yeah, two female
let's
leads.
Make them.
Love it. Love
three,
it.
Three on
I mean,
this
three.
One.
Yeah, three female leads. Yes, absolutely. Go have some, like, and we want to watch that. Oh, we love it.
May 31st in theaters. So.
Oh, dang. We yeah, the don't weekend, have that much time to wait. Yeah.
The weekend after Memorial Weekend.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, and I saw a trailer for The Quiet Place.
See, the prequel. New York City.
Oh,
I know.
Okay. On day one.
It gives me so much anxiety watching it.
I can't wait.
Cannot wait.
I cannot wait. It was incredible. The trailer, Grant.
Think about it. It's the loudest city in the world.
Yeah.
And in the whole movie, you can't make a sound.
Yeah. But we see day one when, I mean, it
gave me so much anxiety.
My friend who I was like, I said, oh, I'm going to the movie theater with Casey with us. And she's like, oh, I could never go to this movie.
Well, and if you haven't seen the first two.
You have to see them.
The first one is basically like in the thick of it. And it's Emily Blunt and his wife, John Krasinski, and their family and how they're getting through this alien invasion where they have to be quiet.
Yeah.
The next one starts out in their hometown of day one. And you see how they get to where they got to. But this third one, day one, New York City.
Is John Krasinski, did he write this and he created this?
Yeah, this is his whole series. Yeah, this is all him. But he's not a part of this third one.
Because it's too early.
It's too early. And it's at that point in time, he was over in whatever small town he was in. So he won't be in this movie particularly. But the scenes where they're in like a New York deli and there's just things running by and covering their mouth and they've got to be quiet. Oh, that's tense. It looks good. It looks great.
Yeah, it really does, Grant. It really does. All right, listen, we'll be right back with the Dirt Alert. Hey, everybody, it's Lori here for Sweet Living Senior Care. And when I say sweet, I mean S-U-I-T-E, not sweet as in the candy. But Sweet Living Senior Care, when we went to, we were in White Bear Lake, and like we drive up, it looks like just this beautiful home with like a lot of, maybe a few different little wings. It just was so pretty. And I'm like, and how we have 18 across the metro area. So if you live in Eagan and your mom or dad or both your parents are needing to be in assisted living, you want them to be by you with Sweet Living Senior Care, 18 different metro communities. There's probably one close to you. And it's all one level. There's just 32 suites in each building. And it was really cozy the way it was set up, the way it was laid out, the rooms. It just had a very, Julie and I have gone to lots of these places, Sweet Living Senior Care.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
All right, Grant, we've covered some stuff, but not really too much dirt.
Not too much dirt, but one big piece of dirt. In the first Dirt Alert I mentioned, I just got to bring this out there. Missy Elliott is going on a tour. This is really fun. She's bringing along with her Busta Rhymes and Ciara are also coming along, and Timberland will be a part of the whole show.
That's the way you do it.
Right? And she said, this is the interesting part, which I did not realize, that the last time she was on a major tour was in 2004 with Alicia Keys and Beyonce.
Oh, my God.
20 years ago. So she's going to be hitting the road Thursday, July 4th in Vancouver.
Oh, people are going to be so happy to buy tickets to this.
Oh, yeah. And then ending the whole thing at the end of the summer, Thursday, August 22nd in Rosemont, Illinois, which is the closest to town here.
I was going
to
say, she could play the fair. We have four dates still. They haven't told us.
You guys, why is everyone skipping over us?
Because last year, everybody toured.
Yeah.
That's true.
And this year, there's a lot of festivals.
Yeah.
And people maybe just want to do the festival thing sometime.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Fine. All right. Well, yeah, so that should be interesting. Tickets for that go on sale on April 11th at 10 p.m. our local time if you want to try to find tickets to go travel and see her. But we got to mention this. There's, you know, Marvel actor, well, let's just say actor Jonathan Majors. Over the last year or so, he's been going through a trial, a domestic assault trial with his former ex-girlfriend. Well, that was determined, and then the sentencing was to come out. Well, the sentencing has come out, and he will not be going to jail. He won't be serving any jail time. In fact, he's going to have to complete a 52-week in-person batterer's intervention program, and he's also has to continue with his mental health therapy. So, his real punishment, if you really want to consider it, is the loss of the, you know, Disney contract that he had where he was going to make multiple movies over multiple years.
And he got dropped by his manager. Management. I mean, I hope he can find his way back and then he can speak to, you know, how he got to be in this place. I mean, I don't know.
We always want somebody to figure their stuff out.
Because it did seem like we followed that trial. It did seem like that. And it just seemed like it was one of those relationships that were just toxic.
Yes.
Just bad.
From both sides.
Absolutely. On both sides. Not saying that, But I mean, just what we saw of it, it just seemed like
Text messages, the videos, everything.
Like all their friends and family would just have been counseling, you two are no good together. Yeah, Why can't you see it?
Yeah. And so, like you said, hopefully he'll learn from himself, maybe be able to teach some people.
Well, year long. That's a lot of counseling. It's a once a week group.
Yeah. That'll be good for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we've been talking about this for a while. Well, actually, we haven't been. We talked about it a while ago, but there was a lawsuit that came out between the author of the 1983 magazine story that inspired the original Top Gun. They were accusing Paramount of basically stealing the rights to this movie. Now, this is the big suit. This is the big thing. So the lawsuit is from the heirs of this person who wrote the article, mm-hmm. but they allege that the rights to the story reverted back to after
20 years.
Yeah, exactly. In 2020, because of they say that they took advantage of a provision in copyright law allowing authors to reclaim the rights to their work after waiting a period of 20 years, mm-hmm. like you said. But a judge and a court agreed that the studio and the movie were not substantially similar, and there are no similarities that they can bring to. So this basically is. They had no right to charge them with copyright infringement.
Okay.
Really, the only connection that the judge said that this magazine article had with the movie itself was the fact that it was about a pilot who is in training.
Yeah, that seems like a very loose case.
Yeah, so there was this story. It was inspired loosely and accusing the studio of forging ahead with the blockbuster sequel without renegotiating a new license. A district court judge said that they did not need to renegotiate a new license because, quote, they are largely dissimilar from the article, what this new story is. So,
all right.
Paramount is going to be able to move forward with a third version of Top Gun, whatever they're going to call this one. Last one was
those known. Guys are bummed today, that family. They really were hoping.
Big loss for that family. We've got a couple minutes here. I'll save that one. Let's just do this because the CMT Awards were last night and they did a very nice job of honoring Toby Keith. Brooks and Dunn, Lainey Wilson and Sammy Hagar all came out to perform different songs. First of all, Brooks and Dunn did a rendition of Toby's 1993 song, Should Have Been a Cowboy. Then Sammy Hagar came out and did Toby Keith's 2003 hit, I Love This Bar. Lainey also came out and did the track, How Do You Love Me? How do you like me now?
Oh, yeah.
Song. And by the end of the tribute, all of Toby's friends and family, fellow musicians at the ceremony held up the infamous Red Solo Cup from his song in 2011, which if you're a fan of Toby Keith's, I mean, this was just a sad passing. He passed away in February at the age of 62 from stomach cancer after hearing all kinds of positive news about him. Mm-hmm. But it was a really beautiful tribute to the late, great Toby
Keith.
You know,
even if you're not like a huge fan of Toby Keith, you can appreciate because he's such a zeitgeist in
You Should Have Been a Cowboy. That song alone.
I mean, I can hear that immediately when you say that sentence. You know what I mean? Like, anyone who, even if you're not into the genre, you can take a step and just go, he did a lot.
Yeah.
In the military, we listen to a lot of Toby Keith.
Yeah. And Lainey Wilson told Entertainment Tonight she'd be shocked if she came back to Yellowstone.
Really?
Well, remember she plays Abby.
Yeah.
Ryan's, you know, one of the cowhands. It's a very side.
Very small part.
Small part. And so it just means she doesn't know a damn thing.
Was she the one in like season three where they did the celebration at the ranch and she performed the song?
She's in the first half of season five.
That's what it is. And yes. She did the performance, like
she falls for Ian.
That's it. There
she
we
falls
go.
For Ian.
Well, yeah. Wow, they're losing cast members left and right.
Well, she just doesn't know anything. Yeah. She hasn't been told anything. I have a feeling she'd go back because I do feel like part of her, you know, people discovered her music as they discovered her on that show, looking so cute, leaning against a busted fence.
In cute
cowgirl.
There's worse ways to be.
Kevin Costner doesn't know where he's going to be with that show. Remember, we had a story a couple weeks ago. Said
he
that
comes back to the well as soon as that divorce hearing is settled.
Right.
Yeah.
But lastly, we'll round this one up with Hulu. We have Julia Fox has her OMG Fashion show over.
That's
I believe that's coming out here pretty quickly. But there's another fashion show that's going to be involving Kate Upton over on Hulu.
Ooh.
Now this one is called Dress My Tour. It's a new reality competition series that has been ordered by Hulu. It's 10 episodes, unscripted. It will follow 11 fashion designers as they compete to create designs and styles for music stars. The winners will receive a $100,000 cash prize.
Cool.
So, yeah, this looks like, you know, the fashion world is getting a little bit of reality touch, and I like that.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, Grant. That was great.
That OMG Fashion, I believe, is on FX. No, it's on E, and that one looks really good. I don't know when it comes out, but that one looks really good. That's your My Talk Dirt Alert for this hour. For more entertainment news, actually, that's how I end the top of.
Hey, everybody. It's Lori here for Hammernix Flooring Solutions. They really do have just the best team in town. You are remodeling or just needing new carpeting in your home, or maybe you've got a business and you're just like, oh, what is with this funky carpeting? Or you've got a cabin and you just have these terribly old laminated wood things that are like peeling up, and you're like, I wonder what I could do with even going into Hammernix and letting them know what your budget is, because they also have remnant rooms at all of their carpeting, their hardware superstores, the flooring superstores, which are Hudson, New Hope, and also St. Paul. They're also in Rochester. But they would have something for every budget. They also have designers working with you, and they can specialize and help you refinish and repair older floors if you've got an older home that you're just looking at restoring. Learn more at hammernix.com. Right, damn it. Let's talk about it.
Finally. Why I showed up today.
That's right. There's only a limited amount of Sex Mondays left unless we bring
Stop.
It to another way of giving you this. But I just here's something to wonder. Do you ever wonder what is chatbot or what's chat?
Chat GPT?
Yeah, what is chat GPT getting asked for sex?
What are they?
I mean, do you think people ask ChatGPT sex questions?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, here's what they ask.
Oh, I'm intrigued.
Here's what they ask them. I mean, this is really pathetic because, I mean, first of all, only 39 of the 50 states and two territories require sex education to be covered in schools.
That's bleak.
It kind of is.
It really, I'm saying that's so sad.
What's worse is just 18 states are required to educate students about birth control.
That's absolutely heartbreaking.
Yeah. So anyway, these are the kinds of questions that ChatGPT gets asked.
Maybe that's good. Maybe kids are using it then.
Kids are using it based on, this is like a question that, I'll go 8-1. Can you get pregnant if a boy touches your breast with his mouth? Do you see the need for sex education here with this being the eighth most asked question?
Lori, but what's the answer?
Bingo. Where's our drums? Grant isn't around. No touching or kissing the breast does not cause pregnancy.
Oh, good to know.
Good to know. Okay, but that is a for real question. This is also a for real question. What is the right age to start teaching my dog about sex?
That is a great question because I'm almost embarrassed. Mine are like 8 and 7, and I've never taught them about sex.
Anything.
No.
Yeah.
And now people are worried about them looking at the solar eclipse.
Yeah, you can't teach your dog about sex in a human way. They are, it comes naturally, just like it does really to humans in a certain way. But you don't need to, you need to have them spayed and neutered so that you don't have unplanned dog and kittens that can't be cared for.
And, you know, maybe a good talk about consent.
Listen.
Listen, you can always talk about consent, maybe just for your
own. That is like, okay, I couldn't even believe it. Okay, why do I feel like a werewolf during sex is a question that comes up far more often, Brittany, than you and I would be comfortable. It's so out of left field.
I don't even know how, where to start with that one.
I know.
Why do I feel like a werewolf during sex? Why don't I?
That's the real question. Right.
I have never howled.
Why are we howling at the moon? So that's a real question. And AI, how it answered it, how ChatGPT answered it, it answered that the feeling of being a werewolf during sex is a metaphorical or symbolic expression of a strong primal or intense experience. So it had a very good answer.
One of the first, like, dirty books I ever had, like a, you know, a young adult book, was these like werewolves.
Oh yes,
and they like had sex, but like very, it was not, but you know, they didn't go into detail. But I thought it was the hottest thing ever.
Yeah, I know. Well, they think of Twilight, you know, all of that. That is a thing. This is a real. Can a girl get pregnant from a toilet seat? Is still being asked. Better question is, can you get a sexually transmitted disease from a toilet seat? But no. The semen would have to be wet, not dry.
Yeah.
Just is a simple answer. So anyway, ridiculous.
Yeah, you are the most fertile being in the world if you can get pregnant from a toilet seat.
Yeah, and also the impressed. Most disgusting person who's sitting down on a toilet seat.
On a wet seat.
Wet seat.
Yeah,
okay.
Like you see it. You see it. No. This is not okay. And it's like you're missing the hole in a weird way too.
Yeah, thank you very much. Pun intended.
Maybe.
Now another question ChatGPT gets asked is, and you know, I guess legitimate, let's say you eat a lot of ice cream or s'mores or whatever, and if you eat so much of them, you wonder, do I taste like that?
Oh yeah, great question.
Yeah, because the taste and smell is affected by what you eat.
Absolutely.
I'd quit dating a guy.
Yeah.
For his funky spunk. I could not take it. I don't know what he ate, but it was like,
I know.
It's a legitimate reason to dump somebody.
Absolutely.
But anyway, there's not much. According to GPT, our bodies have various ways to tell us something is amiss, but knowing what is normal for you is how you keep an eye on your health. So it gave a very benign answer.
You need a baseline.
Yeah. Yeah, you do need a baseline, but no, you're not going to taste like a s'more if you eat or whatever you eat a lot of. That's not how that works. Another question is, my penis is too big for a condom. Can I use a plastic bag?
I had a friend do this in high school. I think we all have had a friend that did this in high school. It was a rubber band and a plastic bag or like, it's so bleak. It's so bleak. It's like, oh my gosh, that must have ripped you apart.
Yeah. But the ChatGPT wants you to know that penises are not ever too big for a condom, because when they're made, they're tested by filling them with water to check for leaks and blowing them up like balloons. So it's not possible for your penis. It's just vanity. Probably they probably charge more.
Here's the
for
thing.
The condoms that are like super special, extra big.
You know for sure a woman is the one asking this because some guy told her this. Yeah. It's not the men type. Because if you are in that much of a self-denial about your own body.
Right.
That's a lie. You're not searching this. Women are going, is that true? Could that be a real thing? And the answer is no. It's not.
Yeah. And people also ask ChatGPT specific questions about, we'll just call it a BJ.
Okay.
About every kind of, you know, question you'd have, and the most important question that ChatGPT gets the most, how can I get laid quickly?
Very relatable.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. An emphasis on it will be quickly.
ChatGPT answered by saying, build meaningful connections and practice healthy communication. So nobody's asking it more than once. But anyway,
I'm more enthralled with the why do I feel like a werewolf when I'm having sex? That has to be, to me, that is the most important question that we should really flush out and, you know, do a deep dive on all the connections that happen there.
Now, this is, we'll just call this Lori answering penis questions.
Of course.
Important penis questions
which
of the day.
We need
Grant, this could
daily.
Probably be some kind of a PSA or something. But this is a study, and they studied dead men to get this study, and they wanted to see what part truly, because there's been urban myths and legend, you know, about what, when you look at a man, you can tell, you can predict his penis size by looking at his hands or his wrists or... his middle finger from the middle of the, you know, they give all these specific little penis predictor math things.
Yeah.
Julia's somewhere in a car going crazy right now that you're not stopping me. Penis, penis, penis. Anyway, now I'm
I love it.
Like, I love it. I mean, you might as well.
I might as well. Anyway, they just wanted to, like, look at, you know, and so they looked at 126
dead
people who gave their body to medical science, the men.
Thank you, men.
And they found out that the one thing that, and they, how they tested was that they stretched and stretched, and then they measured, and it's the nose, damn it.
It's still the it's nose.
The nose is the most reliable predictor.
The nose knows.
Of the penis, the nose knows. The nose knows what it wants.
So you've always said the nose.
I have. I have. Anyway, so, and it didn't matter a man's height or his weight. It was the nose length. The nose length is decided before you're even born. You know, what kind of a nose you're going to have. But they found that nose length, more than hand length or footprint. And I love the detail of that they stretched.
I don't know
measurement.
If love is the word I'm
I know, right I love
now.
That. I love that detail of a medical
but I bet you
study when I read these journals to get that kind of detail.
We appreciate it. You know. I also know that men who worry about if they're getting every inch, every, you know, centimeter, they also appreciate that it's being stretched.
Yeah, of course.
Every inch has to count.
That's right. That's right.
Thanks,
so anyway.
Lori. God's work.
Yeah, it really is. All right. Listen, we'll be right back. Oh, Ariana Grande, I have so much, I feel like more understanding of you as a young woman and your love life and everything that's happened to you because I watched Quiet on the Set.
Yeah, I know.
Honestly.
Right? I think you're so right. I mean, that's
I didn't realize she was that, you know.
She was sexualized at such a young age.
Yeah.
It's tragic.
Yeah. So it gives me, I'm like, okay, that's.
I'm glad she made it. I mean, we look
at... Yeah, she got out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because what's her name? Amanda Bynes, not so lucky, and a lot of other kids.
And maybe,
very stressful.
Maybe because she was always a side character.
Maybe.
Unless, well, she eventually got the cat and whatever show. But I don't know. I don't know what makes somebody be able to get through that and keep going. Because it seems like, for the most part, a lot of those people are stuck in a really rough cycle.
Yeah. I mean, Kirsten Dunst and Scarlett Johansson were both like 11, 12. Jodie Foster, even younger. It is more rare to see someone go from childhood star to be a... Because Kirsten Dunst has been everywhere promoting Civil War.
And yeah.
Her first movie was with Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise
Interview with the Vampire. And I love that
And she's the 12-year-old girl, you know, and they're chasing her. I mean, and she's just become... You know, she's a wonderful actress and... Bring It On. And I mean, she's just been, she's going to be like, people will feel about her the way people might feel about Jodie Foster or someone else, someone that you've known your whole life.
Totally. I was just watching an interview where she was talking about her first movie, Interview with a Vampire. And she goes, she's like, she was never scared of anything because she was pretty much the darling of everything, the set, and everyone treated her just like a princess. But she said it was super gross. She can remember this vividly. And if you remember being this age, you'd also think this was gross. I mean, I know she mentioned the kiss thing, but the one thing she said was the grossest was she had to put her mouth on sweaty people's necks.
Mm.
And can you imagine being a kid and having to put your mouth on a sweaty person's neck?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And simulate, you know, biting them, yes. Which is very...
And they said that it was like the blood was this like cornstarch.
I love those books.
I haven't read the books. I should, right?
Oh, Anne Rice, yeah.
Oh,
the,
I love...
Mayfair Witches is really probably the one I'd start with.
Okay.
Mayfair Witches.
I'm on
or
this...
The Witches of Mayfair, maybe that's what it's called.
It's
Anne Rice.
I loved Interview with a Vampire, the movie, and I think I would like the book.
Yeah, you would.
All right, I'm writing it in my text.
Would you like to know about, I love that this happened. So Grant posted, Caitlin Clark's boyfriend proving himself to be as good of a hype man as Travis Kelce ever was with Taylor Swift, posts on his Instagram, Clark going back to the dressing room after losing the championship, my goat, and then her jersey and her shoes, a side-by-side picture. And I mean, it's just,
it's so good,
it's so cute. So guess what Us Weekly did today?
What did
the very
they do?
Next day, everything you need to know about Caitlin Clark's boyfriend. I thought, finally,
right?
Finally, instead of everything you need to know about some guy's girlfriend, which is always what we're used to. I'm like, yes.
Love.
Yes. So what did we learn about? What about
Tell
Connor?
Me. Yes.
Well, they're both C's, Connor and Caitlin.
Mm-hmm.
He was an athlete at Iowa. So
yeah.
They're college sweethearts. He works for the NBA. And he is one of her biggest cheerleaders.
I love it. Yeah. I honestly, we were talking about this. I think they kind of look alike.
Yeah, they do.
But I mean, maybe it's just like the sporty look,
Yeah, maybe. They do kind of look alike, but they both are just tall, good-looking people with the same hairlines.
Right? That's exactly
And they,
it.
They could be they in danger if they stay together for many, many years. You know, you see that couple and you're like, whoa!
I know.
These two look exactly alike.
Morphed, exactly, because they're always in sweatshirts.
I always look at Casey to make sure that we don't look alike.
You're fine. Okay. I think you're set. I think you're okay. You and Casey couldn't look less. I mean, you're not.
No.
No all right.
So here's who's on the late night shows tonight, if you're keeping track, because they're all back. Jimmy Fallon has Jim Parsons. Kaia Gerber, who's starring in Palme Royale right now, playing kind of this ditzy manicurist, and she's just wonderful to look at and looks great in the 60s clothes. I'm hoping we get to see a little bit more, but I think she's a minor character, and I think she's trying to act.
Okay.
You know, so she's on, and then Hart is playing on Fallon tonight.
Love.
So Jimmy Kimmel, Henry Cavill, he'll be promoting that new movie he's in.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Epps and Tori Kelly is singing. Stephen Colbert has Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Tyla.
Okay.
And then in Seth Meyers, Jessica Lange.
Yes.
Is, and she was in Feud.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what else she could be promoting.
Yeah.
Unless she's in American Horror Story Delicates.
The second part of that.
The second part. I quit watching.
Me too.
Oh, that's what Emma Roberts is promoting too, I think.
It was like, I know I was pregnant during it.
Yes, and the spiders.
I was like, I'm not going to watch this because it was all about that pregnancy. I hate to say this because I love American Horror Story. But
not every season, have you?
Not every season.
Not every season.
Oh, God, I'm not a monster. There are so many times where I'm like, this is insane.
Yeah. Seth Meyers, so he's got Jessica Lange, Corey Stoll, and UConn guard by the name of Andrew Hurley.
Good for him.
And then After Midnight with Taylor. Have you watched that?
I've seen some clips.
Yeah. So her three comedians are Dustin Nickerson, Dulce Sloan, and Amir Kay. And then tonight it's American Idol. They're at the Disney Alani Resort in Honolulu, so if you've wondered what that resort looks like.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Maybe they'll show you something that would be a reason to watch. And then The Voice, it's the knockout rounds.
People love those. My mom loves those.
Yeah, and on Watch What Happens Live, it's Alison Brie and Rebel Wilson.
Oh, that would be good, because she's just spilling all the tea with her new book coming out.
Yeah, and apparently, some of her tea in Chapter 23 about Sacha Baron Cohen had something to do with... his wife, Isla Fisher, like, let's make this announcement about us.
And in it was a Friday announcement, which we all know
Friday, in their tennis outfit, putting down their rackets. It was cute. I've never seen anything that weird.
Me
but
too.
It fits them.
It fits them. And then also we find out that they've actually been separated since 2023.
Well, so this is what they tell us.
Yeah, that's true.
This is what they tell us.
But look how gullible I am.
When you live in London and LA and you go back and forth, it's very easy to be...
Change the dates on things.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah,
it's
you're
what
right.
a publicist's job is to do.
And look, it worked on me, but yeah, I'm also so gullible. Right. That's why you're here, to remind me that not everyone tells the truth.
Oh, and it's... NCI Verse, the first 1,000, a 1 hour special. It sounds scary, but if you're an NCIS fan, I think you're going to be.
You're going to love it.
You're going to be happy. It comes on at 9 o'clock on CBS. All right, see you guys.
Love you. Bye. Tomorrow.